Before we begin, this is for the person who has done everything right. You've built the career, you became dependable, you created the life you were supposed to want. And maybe, quietly, you've asked yourself, is this it? Not because you're ungrateful and not because anything is wrong, but because something doesn't feel alive anymore. You might notice it in small ways, the tight jaw, the restless sleep, that subtle sense that you're moving through your days instead of actually living them. That feeling isn't failure, friend. It's what happens when you outgrow a life shaped by expectations you never consciously chose. At 5-Year U, we help successful people step back into agency safely. Not by blowing up your life and not by making dramatic changes, but by creating intentional shifts that actually fit who you are now. And if you're curious whether this is something that could support you, we offer a complimentary clarity call. It's not a sales call. There's no pressure. It's simply a space to explore where you are, what's shifted, and whether working together with us makes sense. If something in you is leaning towards that conversation, you can book one at 5yearu.com. Now let's begin with the show.
Welcome to the 5-Year U podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow?
Hi, 5 Tribe. Today's episode is called Feeling Like I'm Failing. And it's an episode that it really touches deep to our hearts. And it's going to go into some stuff that we've also been experiencing the last month or two. I'm Andrew. And with me always is Kat. How you doing today, Kat?
I'm really good. Happy to be doing this.
Yeah, we've been away for a couple of months. It didn't show in the recordings because we record in advance. And then we had to do some reruns of our greatest hits for August. But we've had to be away for a little bit. And I gotta say, I was feeling like I'm failing that whole time.
I know. So what happened is Andrew over here dislocated his shoulder. It's not the first time he had similar issues, had surgery on it, 15 years ago?
About that.
And so he had a pretty bad injury, doctor's appointment, surgery, recovery, all of the different things. If you're new to the show, let me introduce you to my wonderful life partner. He hates sitting still. He hates it. He is so active, so energetic. I always say, I call him like the Energizer Bunny. And so it was really hard for you, wasn't it, babe, have to sit still?
Yeah, it was. I am still sitting still, and it is very, very painful. Not as painful as dislocating your shoulder and shoulder surgery to follow, but very painful. And it really challenges you mentally when you're used to, I'm somebody who is used to providing value to feel valued. And it's not a great way to be. And I've recognized that, you know, people don't love me because of that, but that was a big part of it. So sitting still has been something that the universe has been nudging me at the beginning. It kind of knocked gently on the door and said, you should slow down. And I'm like, no, I'm fine. And then I started I tried rollerblading again for the first time in a couple of years, and I had a blast with it. Then I completely did a cartwheel and wiped out, and the universe is like, you need to slow down. And I was like, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. And then this kind of happened. And so instead of the universe knocking lightly, it kicked down the door and burnt down the house and said, okay, Andrew, sit. Good boy. Yeah. And it's hard. It's really hard.
I think this is something a lot of people can relate to, though, and it's a really important lesson that even though we are personal development junkies, even though we've had this podcast for well over a year, even though we are active students on self-improvement, this lesson of you are worthy as is, just because you're human and you were born and you exist, is a very hard lesson to take in, especially in North American culture. We assign people hierarchies and values in society based on what they do, what schools they went to, what their job title is, what neighborhood they live in, which street in that neighborhood do they live in. And it's all of this like external validation. Now, you're not somebody who needs a lot of like, you know, house, car type of validation, but for you, it's sort of your life's purpose to help people. And so when you yourself are helpless and you need other people to help you, it was very humbling for you you were very uncomfortable because you like to be the helper. That's you. And it's a beautiful thing about you. But you had to learn how to accept it. And it hasn't been easy.
No, it hasn't. And I remember actually, you know, you have to do a whole bunch of different doctor's appointments and pre-op stuff and all this stuff. And I went to the doctor and I was just like, I couldn't figure out what was bothering me in that moment. And then like I had this like, just I started crying in the office. I'm like, I am not used to having people help me. I can't ask for help. And it was like, so there's a blessing in all of this of just kind of facing some parts of me that I didn't realize existed because I've never slowed down or never been forced to look at them, which is a gift in itself. I will pay attention the next time that door gets knocked on a little lighter for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Asking for help, I have learned it's a gift that we give other people. My doctor, he's been my doctor since he was my son's 15 and I was his patient then. He said, like, you know, if your son asked you for help, would you give help? And I'm like, of course. And it's like, and how would that make you feel? I'm like, it'd make me feel really good to be able to help him. It's like, so that's what you're going to be doing when you ask somebody else to help you. You're going to be giving them the gift of feeling good. And I don't know if everybody else in the world already looked at it that way. And nobody taught me that in school or what, but it really kind of, it got me out of myself and like, oh, right, I'm this. And there's been a lot of positives. My father has been helping me a lot the last couple of months because I've been using my left hand only. And that's great, except when you're not left-handed. I am right-handed with no right arm, with no functioning right arm. And he said like it's been really nice for him. It's given him a sense of purpose. It's given him a lot of joy to get, like, I have a better relationship in the last 2 months with my dad than I think I've had in my whole life because I've had to ask for help. And if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be. I would just be doing the same stuff I've always done. So slowing down doesn't mean that you're failing or stopping. You know, having to stop for a second or a month or a year or a few years doesn't mean you're failing. It means that you're just taking care of some stuff that needs to be taken care of. It's kind of like unpacking your emotional backpack so you get those rocks out so you can move forward faster afterwards. And when I've started to look at it like that, it's helped to go through this experience.
I think it's a great reframe, honestly, especially for anyone out there who's listening, who loves to be the helper, who loves to be the person people come to get stuff done, who gets fulfillment out of making other people's lives better. And that is Andrew to a T. So if you are that type of person, it's a great reframe to ask yourself, you know, am I denying other people the pleasure, the same pleasures that I get from being there for other people? Usually the people who are super helpful have a hard time taking the help. I low-key secretly loved it because Andrew's always he's spoiling me, over the top, doing nice things for me, fussing over me. And I like try to fuss over him. He's like, no, you sit down. I'll bring the dishes up. No, you rest. You do your work. You do this. No, I'll do this. I'll fold laundry, whatever. And so I was like, aha, you cannot do anything. I get to do it. And it was so nice for me because it was like a little role reversal where I get to be like, see, isn't this nice? Isn't this feel nice to be taken care of and fussed over? This is how I feel all the time. And I would like to do this for you more. And I think for you, you had to realize that your mom, your dad, me, like, we're going to love you no matter what, you know, whether you're sick or well, like, we're not in your life because of how, you know, easy you make our lives, although that is like a perk. But you know, you don't have to show up any certain way. It's not like this episode title. It's not a failure just because you can't perform at the same speed as you're used to.
Yeah. And thank you again for all the help and the reminding me that it wasn't a burden because like it's such a weird feeling because every time somebody helps you and you're not used to accepting help, you feel bad. Like it's not a good, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm burdening you. I am troubling you. I am so sorry that, you know, you have to open this bottle for me because I don't have, you know, two opposable thumbs in this moment. It's like all these little things that you really never knew you appreciated your arms so much are gone. And it sucks from one point of view to have to continuously ask for help. But on the other side of that, you know, it's two sides of that, of every coin. And like the other side of that coin is like, it's so beautiful that there are people that care about me and are willing to help me. And, you know, you're at the top of that list of like just offering to help, you know. Even this week, I woke up one day and, you know, we're in different cities this week. And, you know, I said, like, I can't move right now. And it was, the pain was the worst it had been in we're about a month out from the surgery now. And you DoorDash me medicine like right away. And I'm like, I wasn't even in a place where I could think to do that for myself in that moment. It was just, the pain was that blinding. And it's really, really nice. It's very touching when people do that. And so thank you for caring and for taking care of me. And
you're so welcome. Like I said, it's been a good opportunity for me because I usually have to like sneak in the helps, and I have to like be like, oh, you know, here's your water before you could get up. It's like I'm always trying to beat you to the punch because I'm serious, y'all. He moves so fast. He's always doing things. He's never idle. And so this has been a real challenge. But I think it's a good metaphor for so many different things, because what do we hear from our clients all the time? They feel like they're behind. They feel like they should be in a different place right now, financially, emotionally, with their debt. We've heard from really wonderful, intelligent mothers who feel like motherhood has made them feel stagnant in their careers, or maybe they haven't been able to be as good of a friend as they want to be, or something like that. And so it's really easy to beat yourself up when you compare yourself to a version of you that was under completely different circumstances. And so no matter what you're going through, if you have that feeling like, I feel like a complete failure right now. I'm not doing anything. I'm not moving anywhere. You don't always have to be moving forward. It's okay to have a little hibernation period. Bears do it.
Yeah. And I think that's been a big lesson for me is the failures, the setbacks, the downtime, not that downtime is those things, but you know, I lump them all to kind of together as not moving and being very hard for me. I look at them now and it's, what is the opportunity in it? What is that thing that's going on right now that is causing me to have to do this? Because I believe that the universe, God, Allah, whatever you believe in, I believe in a universal energy that we give a million names to. But I believe that you came here for certain reasons. And when you're going through these hard times, I believe I chose this. And it's not easy to sit in an emergency room for 5 hours with your shoulder dislocated and every breath feeling like somebody's trying to stick a knife in you and go, what's the opportunity in this? But it did help me in you know, several of those hours to say, this is a test. It's okay for you to feel what you're feeling right now. It's okay to be going through this. You're going to go through it. You're going through this one way or another right now. So pick your attitude, pick your, you know, it's like, pick your weapon right now. Are you going to come at it with pity? Or are you going to come at it with sadness? You're going to come at it with some curiosity and some optimism and go, wow, my shoulder is going to be stronger than it's ever been this time next year. And that's what I ended up choosing because I had the benefit of being through it before. But, you know, when you can't move your arm, like it took me 5 days to move my fingers after the first time it happened and several more after the surgery. It's really mentally hard to say like, this is something good, but that's why you practice it on all the little things first as they come up. So when something hard like this comes up, you're feeling a little bit more in tune and going, okay, yes, this is hard, but I got this. And you've got this. We all have it. Nothing has killed us yet because you're listening to this right now.
I think that's so true with any hardship, though. It's like the lesson always comes up during the reflection, right? Mm. Very rarely when we are inside of the hard thing are we like, well, this is going to be, you know, my greatest life lesson and lead to all kinds of good things. In the moment that you're in pain and you're in the ER, you're not like, well, I'm going to get a ton of one-on-one time with my dad because of this. So that will make this worth, like, you're not thinking of that. It's only when you're sort of through the experience and you're looking back and you're like, well, I can see that though it wasn't easy and maybe I wouldn't have chosen this, I can see all of these good things that came from it. And I wouldn't have given up any of the time with my dad. I wouldn't have given up the opportunity to see Kat drive my car in Canada. You know, I needed that moment.
Yeah. It was a fun moment.
There's, yeah. for one of us. And you know, and like, I wouldn't have had the appreciation on my end. Like, yes, I have confirmation that I am the passenger princess, and it should always be that way. We have a really good episode on contrast, and it's a powerful episode because contrast is how we measure everything, right? We wouldn't know what happiness is if we didn't have sadness. You know, we wouldn't know what a good day is without the bad day. We wouldn't know what being healthy feels like if we weren't sick every now and then. And life is full of these contrasts. And the more life experience you get, the more you come at it with curiosity, the more, you know, Andrew is in pain and he is going through this stuff, but he's like, it's going to create a lot of podcast episodes. I'm going to be like, he still had it. Like, I saw the growth in the moments. Like, I know something, there's a lesson here. I don't see it in this exact moment, but yeah, it's there.
I think that's
Shirley, please let it come.
I think one of the biggest things that happened to me, and I can't remember what happened to you, but I remember you went through something painful about a month before. And I remember, like, in the moment feeling like this is going to teach you something. But I remember also wanting to like impart, like maybe there was a lesson in that moment. And I realize now that if you had sat down next to me in the ER when, you know, I'm waiting to be seen and on no painkillers, and you said, you know, son, you're going to look back on this in 3 months and say, wow, I'm so grateful this happened. That's not the time to do it. So
isn't this a great moment of contrast?
Oh, how's the contrast feeling? It's like, it's feeling pretty awful. But now I can look back at it and I'm like, you know, even just from talking about it in this episode, I'm coming up with all these different things that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't gone through this. I would have gone through my dad and I have, you know, decided to try to do a weekly kind of movie night or TV night where we just watch, where we hang out together because we enjoy each other's company. And, you know, I had to lean on my kids, who my daughter drives now, and, you know, I've had to ask for stuff. And, you know, it's weird to have to ask your children for help because it's usually the other way around, but it's been good. And I've had a lot of other people just reach out and say, you know, how can I help you and stuff like that. And it's really nice. It helps you in those moments to know that you're cared and loved for by people. And I believe most of us have that love for a lot of people. We just don't know how to communicate it. So we say, can I help? We say these things. So, but yeah, never tell somebody when they're in pain, you know, this is going to make a great lesson in a few years. Because that is,
we'll probably talk about this on the podcast.
Timing is everything, folks. And that was not it.
So, there's so many moments of gratitude still, though, right?
That's just it. So if you want to have gratitude and not go through the pain, you can take your arm and just wear it inside your t-shirt or shirt for a day and appreciate how much you use your dominant arm. And from brushing your teeth to trying to chop a vegetable to, like, even filling up a glass with water, like, with one hand, that is a multi-minute experience. Yeah. So what it really did give me, I remember saying it actually in the first couple of days, I'm like, I have so much gratitude for my right arm right now. Like, I have not appreciated it as much as I can. And that's been a big part of this, is just kind of going, like, you know, I go through my life always wanting to be better and improve and all these things, but I need to embrace that gratitude of where I am and what I have done. And when you feel like you're failing, it's because you are looking in the wrong direction with the wrong glasses. Mm-hmm. You are looking in front of you going, I'm not where I want to be. When you turn around and look, wow, look how far I've come.
Yeah.
You feel a lot better. And that's a way better motivator. And it just feels better to go through life going, like, wow, I have come so far. And I am very new at this experience doing it personally, but it's really useful.
I think even one of the twins said something. They were going to a store and someone was on crutches coming out. And our youngest was like, well, Andrew, at least you didn't break your leg, you know? And it was like, yep, that is good, you know? But it was kind of like, yeah, at least you didn't, you know? And it was kind of like an interesting comment because they have heard us talk about gratitude so much, and it was just an interesting thought, I thought.
I actually had the same thought today. I was seeing my doctor for my follow-up and somebody walked out with a brace on, and I heard, it wasn't the same person, but I heard the doctor saying, like, yeah, when we do this operation, you're going to be off your feet for 6 months. And I'm like, yeah, suddenly, you know, having shoulder surgery and this stuff isn't nearly as bad. So, yeah. You know, it's, and I hate to compare myself to other people and go, wow, I got it better than you, but.
No, but in your pain and your experience, and we're all allowed to have our own feelings about our own experiences, but it's good to find the lessons. It's good to find the gratitude. And I think another piece of advice that I would give in this episode on this topic is, I think it's really hard for a lot of people mentally when they're going through a hard time. Maybe they have to like take a mental health day from work, or they see something challenging in the news and it makes them not as productive that day. And then we just make this terrible cycle by then beating ourselves up for not being productive because, again, especially in North American society, that's how we view our worthiness, is like, how productive are you? Every time you have those kind of thoughts come into your head, or you have the thoughts that I'm behind or I'm a failure, ask yourself what you would tell to the person you love the most in the same situation. Because I know for a fact that if I was the one with the dislocated shoulder, Andrew would never be like, well, you're being such a failure this week. You haven't moved. You've watched so many movies. Like, you would never say that to me, but you were saying it to yourself.
I was.
Right? And so, kind of treating yourself like your best friend and being kind to yourself.
Yeah. I think that'll be another episode on about how to be your own best friend, because that's something that's been really working for me. But you have been really good with that too, because there have been, you have a tolerance window of sometimes like when I'm like, I get to a bad spot, I'm in pain, I'm having a downtime, but you know when that mode is like, the tide is kind of is changing and you're like, okay, so what are we going to do now to feel better? And it's a completely different part of my brain that goes like, I got to do something to feel better. I haven't even considered something to feel better.
Yeah.
But in doing that, in posing that question, it activates this other part of my brain that goes, mm-hmm. Yeah, let's watch a movie, or let's watch a show, or let's see if, you know, if I can move all five fingers at this point and try to like play a game of cards or something.
The feelings of failure can be also like, I'm out of a routine, or like, I didn't do what I thought I was going to do, or I made this schedule and like, it didn't work out, or, you know, I thought the data set was going to be this way and now it's all messed up and all these hours, or, you know, it's everything that you can beat yourself up for. But the thing that really helps is that when you go into that spiral, you need steps to get out. You need to, you know, step out of the eye of the hurricane. You got to get out of the swirlies. And so like when you were in pain the other day, I'm like, all right, step one, we're getting you pain meds. Step, I'm like, all right, what's the next step? We're going to shower. We're going to watch something funny. Like, what's the vibe? But having that plan is a huge part of it, because without any idea of like how your day is going to go, you're just going to kind of stay circling into those negative feelings.
Yeah. And when you're feeling like that, and I know we've both been stuck in really bad cycles before where you're just like, you can't get out of it. You do, like, you know, an external force has to come in and disrupt it. That's physics, I'm told. Don't look it up. But I think with that kind of stuff, you need someone to come in and go, okay, you're going to do this. Do you want to shower? No. What do you want to do? Because you're not lying in bed anymore in pain. So, I think like the thing that actually helped was an ice pack on my back of my neck. Just switched everything around.
It's kind of startled
you. Thing. Yeah.
Temperature. We're very big on like, take a shower. Again, changing your environment, changing the temperature, changing what you're looking at. Some sort of force movement is important. So, well, I'm really glad that you're feeling better. I know that your road to healing is still ongoing and you're only a month out. And I know that it's going to take time, and hopefully you can drive instead of me soon and all the things. Of course, at your own pace, no rush, but I am glad that you're feeling better. And I'm glad it provided some context for this episode, because I know you're not the only one who has felt like a failure solely because they had this forced stress. And so I hope it helps people listening today.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm really grateful that we can talk about it. I'm grateful. I mean, my glimmer, if you want to talk to two glimmers now,
yes,
it really is
glimmers.
That it's the help that, you know, I'm going to say the glimmer is having gone through this. And I think that's a good full circle moment. But more specifically, thank you very much, Kat. You're my life partner, and you've done so much to help me through everything. And I'm really, really grateful for all the help you've given me this summer. It was impossible without you. So thank you. And I'll also say thank you to my mom and dad, too, because they've been helping, too.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Just I've got a great support group, and you lead them in, and I'm really grateful for it. So thank you. What's your glimmer?
You're very welcome. Yeah, I think that my glimmer is a memorable summer. Yeah, the time of this recording, the kids are back at school. You know, we usually like to make our podcast evergreen, listen to them every time. But at the time recording, we got twins in school, oldest doing college orientation, number two still got another week to go. But it's times are a changing. I'm glad to be back to my own regular schedule, back in the office. But I'm grateful for the time I had with the twins, the travel, you know, getting to take them to the zoo. I'm very grateful for the flexible schedule that allowed me to do things with them, come up to Canada and support you. I even squeezed in a trip to support my younger brother and take care of my baby nephew for a few days. So it was a very full summer. So I'm glad to get back to the normal things, but definitely grateful for the chance to do all of that.
I love it. Thank you so much, folks, for listening. And we can't wait to be back next week with a new episode. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.